You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, everybody. It's Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks from Move the Sticks, and this is Josh Rosen 360.
Second and goal. Rosen to pass again. Touchdown, UCLA.
What an unbelievable throw.
In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa!
For the end zone, touchdown.
Rolling is Rosen. To the back of the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Bruins!
Got in the end zone, touchdown! The legend of Josh Rosen!
All right, Buckets here, the Josh Rosen 360 episode. I'm pumped for this one, man. We've talked to some great folks, and we have got a fantastic podcast right here.
Yeah, because we get a chance to break down his game, talk about his pro potential, his team fits. But more importantly, we talk to the people who know him well. We talk to his high school coach, Jason Nagro. We talk to Trent Dilfer, who knows him from his Elite 11 days. We also talk to his college coach at UCLA, Jim Moore. And more importantly, we talk to UCLA legend, Maurice Jones-Drew.
MJD joining the show. So this is going to be a fun episode. Lots to get to here. This 360 series, the best thing that we do, if you've missed it, go back and find them because we've got them on all, I think, seven episodes when it's all said and done this year. The 360 series is fantastic. Get a lot of great feedback. I think you guys will enjoy the other episodes as well as this one. Let's go ahead and get our opinion out there of what we see of Josh Rosen. And I'll give you the floor first because you have been very consistent, I think probably over a year now, where you have said Josh Rosen is the top quarterback in this draft. You have not budged. You have not moved.
No, I haven't. I believe he's the best pure passer in this draft. I've kind of anointed him the natural because when I look at the tape, I believe he does everything that we have seen high-level NFL quarterbacks do for the last 20 to 25 years. Throws with great touch, timing, anticipation. He has tremendous arm talent. He has a great feel for the game, and you can tell by the way he plays, he has a high football IQ. When I look at Josh Rosen, it's easy for me to drop him into any offense and envision him having success in any kind of scheme with any coordinator. I think the big thing for Josh will be making sure that he's able to protect himself in the pocket, that he doesn't try to do too much because as a high IQ guy, sometimes egotistically, you can try and do too much, think that you can win every play. But if he plays within himself, I can see him having an outstanding career with a bunch of Pro Bowls and all kinds of honors going his way.
I'm going back through my notes here. And this is a word you don't often use when you're evaluating a quarterback. I said he throws a majestic ball. It is beautiful the way it comes out. It is textbook. Everybody's using this phrase too, the best pure passer, because it's accurate. It is what he is. He's the best pure passer. Mechanically, you watch him in his drop. He throws from a nice firm platform. He's got a quick release. The ball pops out of his hand. He throws a nice tight ball. It's beautiful to watch him throw, especially when everything is on time, on schedule. I think he's the best in the class. Now, the issues that arise a little bit when stuff's off schedule. Now, he can move around and slide around the pocket okay. He's not much of a threat to extend and get outside the pocket, create, make things happen. If you give him some yards, he'll get some with his legs, not going to get you anything extra. That's part of it. And then the other thing is the durability. He's missed some games. Concussions has been a reason for that. Also seen a shoulder injury. So the durability, and maybe I've been talking about the escapability with him. Mm-hmm. He does have the ability to maneuver within the pocket some and get away from in tight quarters. But just I would say probably more even than escapability, I would say creativity. He's just not a creative type of a playmaker at the position. He's an on-schedule, on-time, in-rhythm thrower.
I can't dispute any of those critiques that you bring up. All those criticisms are valid. He has had issues in terms of being available. He had a couple of injuries. He had a shoulder injury. He had a concussion that sidelined him for the better parts of two seasons. And so that's something that must be addressed. When it comes to playing, he is a guy that prefers to play on schedule. If you put him behind a very good offensive line with good skill weapons on the outside, I think he can deal like the top five quarterbacks in the league can deal. I think he can spin it like you want. I think he can throw guys open. He can do all the things that you want to see. The reason I may be a little bullish on Josh Rosen is because of that fact. Because when I look at the way teams construct their teams around the quarterback, if you put him in a situation, I don't think he's a fit in all situations, but if Josh Rosen was to go to a team that was already pretty stable but just needed the quarterback to be the piece, I think he could elevate that squad. It really reminds me of Matt Ryan in Atlanta.
Yep.
When Matt Ryan is surrounded by a Julio Jones, a dominant running game with two guys and Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, a solid offensive line, Matt Ryan plays at an MVP level. I think Josh Rosen is very, very similar. When he has all the stuff around him and everything is right, he is going to play at a high level. Can he do it on his own? No, I don't believe he can do that, but I think in the right situation, this dude can be a star in the league.
Yeah, I compared him to Eli Manning when I watched him, just similarly because Eli on schedule is pretty good, although his most famous play in the Super Bowl was him kind of pulling out of a sack.
Yep.
But that's not really what he's made his name on. It's being on time, on schedule, and throwing the ball accurately. So the Eli would be my comparison. I think, you know, people talk about the floor and the ceiling. I think if he stays healthy, I think his floor is also extremely high. You know, I think he's got a tremendously high ceiling because he can make mm-hmm. every throw. I think he actually has a high floor. To me, the only reason he wouldn't have a high floor is the durability. It's not skill-related.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe, like, those two comparisons are very good. Eli Manning was number one overall. Matt Ryan was number three overall. And I think if you think about both those guys, ceiling and floor, I think he would fit both guys. Mm-hmm. At his highest, Eli Manning has been a two-time Super Bowl MVP, a two-time Super Bowl
Matt
winner.
Ryan's an MVP of the league.
At his lowest, Eli has been a guy that's had a lot of interceptions, has led the league in interceptions maybe three times in his career. Matt Ryan the same. He's played at an MVP level. He has also played at a subpar level that makes you think that he's only one of the top 15 or 16 quarterbacks. For Josh Rosen, it is very similar. He has to have the stuff around him, even coaching, that allows him to play at that highest level. If he doesn't, he's going to be a middling, mid-round, mid-level player, and I think we'll always want more. But I think he has the tools to be an upper echelon quarterback.
Yeah, the team that fits the best to me is the Jets. I think whoever the Jets take is going to get on the field the fastest of all these teams, and so I think Rosen's ready to go. That's one that makes a lot of sense for me, going there to the Jets. By the way, before we even get to your team, I'm not really worried about the personality stuff as much. Are you worried about the personality stuff?
No, I think it's been overblown. I do believe it's something that has to be addressed, and you have to make sure that he loves it, because look, the quarterback has to be the guy that is working the hardest when it comes to what we call man hours.
Yeah.
You need to see the quarterback in there. For the quarterback, for some guys, it's a 6-day-a-week job. For the quarterback, it's a 7-day-a-week job. You don't get Tuesdays off. You need the first one in, the last one out, because everyone is looking for you to set kind of the standard for the culture. And so for Josh Rosen, he'll have to learn how to be a pro. If he doesn't already have that, he's going to have to learn that, because that would be the one thing that would separate it. And we've heard stories on some quarterbacks that kind of last one in, first one out.
That ain't going to get it.
That doesn't work, and you won't win a lot of games with those guys.
All right, Buck. Well, let's get this thing going here. We mentioned it at the top. We get a chance to talk to Josh Rosen's coaches. Let's go back to the beginning in our conversation with Jason Negro, the head coach at St. John Bosco, who won a national championship with Josh Rosen. This is arguably the best high school football program in the entire country. And, Coach, we thank you so much for taking some time for us today.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be a part of your program.
Now, you've coached a lot of great players, and the pipeline is not slowing down. You continue to pump out big-time recruits each and every year. But I'd say the biggest so far could be Josh Rosen and what he's become at UCLA and what we anticipate him becoming at the next level. You had a chance to coach him in high school. I want to go back to the first time that you were aware of Josh and what your first impression was of him as a not only a football player but as a kid.
You know, the first time that I saw him, he was an eighth grader, and he was part of our little 7-on-7 off-season program that we had an opportunity to work with young guys that were coming into our program, and he was a super talented kid. I mean, he popped right from the beginning in terms of his skill set and his ability to throw the football, move around the pocket, his presence in terms of his footwork. All those things were just, you know, obviously stood out, and we could tell immediately that he was going to be something special.
Coach, so much has been made about his intelligence, his ability to grasp a playbook. How quickly did he understand the nuances of your playbook when he got to St. John's Bosco?
You know, I thought he picked it up pretty quickly. I mean, one of the things that, you know, Josh is very skilled at is his ability to ask questions and understand, you know, what's going on behind the concepts and the schematics of what we're trying to accomplish offensively. I think that's one of the things that obviously he takes a little bit of you know, criticism for is his ability to ask so many questions and wonder why we do things. And I think that is unfortunate because that's one of his strong points, in my opinion. And for a kid at such a young age to come into our program and to ask so many questions, it was kind of refreshing for us because we knew we had a guy that wanted to learn and become the best that he could possibly be.
So his freshman year then, is he, now what is he playing? Is he playing on the freshman team? Is he playing on the JV team? What's he doing that first year there?
You know, he started out on our freshman team. Like you said earlier, when you introduced me, we have a program that's pretty, you know, talented, and we've got a lot of guys in our program. So, you know, Josh started out on our freshman team. We moved him up to the JV team midway through that year of his freshman year, and he was our varsity backup. We had a senior that was a starter ahead of him, and he was pretty good himself. So we knew that we had to bring Josh, you know, on, you know, up to the varsity and get him to understand what we were trying to accomplish from a schematic standpoint. And when he had the opportunity to play in those games, he did really well. And we knew we were going to have him for the next 3 years, and that's what we did. We won a lot of games with him.
So talk about that maturation, because he was a sophomore starter. You guys won a lot of games under him. How did you see him evolve from being maybe a guy that was kind of a complimentary player to the guy that was your franchise player in high school?
Well, I think the more important thing was to understand that there was a development that had to go along, you know, with his maturity. As he started to get stronger and more physical, we were able to do more things with him, throw the ball down the field a little bit more. We're a zone-based team. We're not really a pocket passing type program, but he was able to adjust and make some, you know, corrections to his game and some adjustments to it to allow him to be super successful. And I think, you know, what we did a pretty good job was is just kind of developing him year in and year out. And we kind of fed him a little bit more as we kind of, you know, he matured through the program. And as he started to get better and more skilled, we were able to add things and elements to our offense with the surrounding talent we had around us. And it was a great combination for us and him, I think.
Is there one particular moment? I mean, you guys play some of the best teams in the country there, and you continue to do so. Is there one particular moment in a game with Josh that stands out that can give us a little insight into just what he's all about?
You know, we were in Utah when he was a sophomore playing against Jordan High School, and we were down, you know, by 6 points with about a minute or so to go in the game. And Josh took over the ball, you know, deep in our territory and kind of put us on a drive. And for a young guy as a sophomore to one of the top teams in the country at the time, this Utah team was really good, and to lead us down, and we scored with like 17 seconds left. He threw a touchdown pass. I think right then and there was a defining moment, and myself, offensive coordinator, and our entire program was like, man, we got something really special here. And if this kid continues to progress in which, you know, at the rate which we think he's going to, we think he's going to be an NFL guy, and certainly he's going to prove that in a couple of weeks.
Coach, a lot is made about how Josh is on the field, but how is he off the field? What kind of person is he with his teammates and others?
You know, I think he's great with the teammates. You know, we have a lot of diversity within our program, not just, you know, ethnically, but also, you know, financially. And we have guys like Josh who comes from Manhattan Beach and kids come from inner city. And for us to be able to kind of melt together and come together here at Bosco, you know, a lot of times you would see division within a team, that certainly wasn't the case with Josh. He was a unifying force for us and put guys, together. And he would be a really good teammate and help guys out and carpool with kids and bring them to school or bring them to events that we were going to have off campus. And I just saw a guy that was just, fit in with everybody. And he was a great teammate. He was a great, classmate for all the kids here at school. And he was a friend of mine and the coaching staff as well.
Was he, even in high school, was he able to kind of bring some ideas to the table when you guys are game planning each and every week? Was he just, receiving all the information you gave him? Or was he actually bringing ideas to the table in high school?
I think it was a little bit of both. He had some really good ideas on what he thought we could do to attack defenses as he continued to learn them. My offensive coordinator did a really good job of kind of teaching him and making him understand, what we were trying to accomplish and what we were seeing from the protection standpoint to whether we were going to run a run pass option and run the ball and the keys that we were going to throw off of. And in the secondary, understanding coverages. And I think once he understood what we were trying to accomplish and what we were trying to do in terms of attacking a defense, that's when he started to ask questions and we started to take off as a program and getting as good as we have become, because we've got smart guys like that are able to execute, some pretty sophisticated schemes, and that makes you a pretty good coach when you have guys like Josh.
it's funny, Coach, because you obviously had him, watch him grow up, become a man at St. John's Bosco and then at UCLA. How do you think he's going to handle all the depression expectations that come along with being the face of a franchise at the NFL level?
Well, I think that because of the family background that he has, he's well-grounded. His mom and dad have done a really good job with him, preparing him for this. I think Bosco was a pretty high stage in terms of, the notoriety that we have within our program nationally. And I think UCLA is the same thing. So as he continues to progress up the ladder, I don't see any, difficulties that he's going to have in any media market that he's going to be a part of. I mean, Manhattan Beach, LA doesn't get much bigger than that. And whether he's in Cleveland or Buffalo or New York, it doesn't matter. I think Josh is going to be able to handle the media extremely well. No one's going to outsmart him. Nobody's going to out-intelligent him. So I'm pretty confident that he's going to do a pretty good job no matter what media market he's in.
All right, this is the last question for me, and we'll let you run here, Coach. But I want to know, selfishly, just help us get ahead here. Who's next? Who's Bosco got coming next? I want to know who we got here.
I tell you what, we have like five kids that are going to be in the draft. A couple of them were a year older than Josh. A couple of them were his class. So we're really excited about those guys. But we have a current sophomore quarterback right now named DJ Uiagalelei.
Whoa,
it's hard to say. He's a Samoan kid, but he's special. And we thought Josh was a once in a lifetime guy, and all of a sudden I've got two in a lifetime guys. So I'm pretty blessed.
I knew you had another one coming. See, we're just trying to get ahead here, Coach. You got to get ready for that one now. What, 6-7 years? You got to worry about that one.
Hopefully we'll have a chance to do that. If he continues to stay as grounded as Josh was through the high school and college process, he's going to have an opportunity as well.
Hey, Coach, thank you so much for your time. By the way, the best background set of any high school coach we've had on. Nicely done.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Thank you.
Buck, it's the best. I love talking to these high school coaches. They just offer tremendous insight. There's nothing rehearsed. There's nothing canned. There's nothing polished. Just real talk there with Jason Negro.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's an outstanding coach. He played a key role in developing Josh Rosen. I personally can attest to watching Rosen grow up, because when he was a sophomore at St. John's Bosco, I was coaching at Notre Dame High School. We played them in a playoff game and really had them dead to sights. We were winning in the fourth quarter, and Josh Rosen brought them back. His poise on the pressure, the composure that he showed as a young guy, you could see that he was destined for greatness. It has continued to play out as he's gone on from St. John's Bosco to have success at UCLA.
Now, this is somebody I remember watching on TV. He had a lot of games televised, and everybody in the country who followed recruiting at all knew who Josh Rosen was. Get a chance to see him, and it was easy to spot his talent, Buck, a very, very special talent there in high school, and we saw that carry over to UCLA. Speaking of UCLA, talk to his high school coach. Here's our visit with his college coach, former UCLA head coach Jim Mora. I want to go back to high school when you're recruiting him. Do you remember the first time that you came across his high school tape and what your impression was?
Oh, absolutely. He was a sophomore. My daughter was the one who actually pointed him out to me. And you could just tell by the way he carried himself on the field, by the way he delivered the ball, that he was special. And then I got to meet him. you know, around the neighborhood, and I was very impressed by his maturity, his ability to speak well, the way he presented himself. So I have pretty vivid memories of that.
Coach, the way you're describing Rosen sounds very similar to the way you would describe a franchise quarterback. And so when you have a five-star recruit, a guy who's the number one quarterback in the country, and he comes on your campus, do you assume that he's going to be a day one starter?
I did. You know, we had to create competition. But our thought was initially that, you know, if he was what we thought he was at the college level, that he'd be a day one starter. We made him, you know, go through the process of earning it, but then we named him early because we wanted him to get used to it and we wanted the players around him to get used to him being in the huddle with them. And so when we made that move, I didn't really see any change in his demeanor because he always presented himself as a very confident young man.
Was there ever a moment on that practice field when he got to UCLA, that kind of one moment you went like, okay, that's the real deal?
Well, there were a lot of those. You know, just about every day he would do something that you really were, you know, kind of amazed at, you know, whether it was a throw or his ability to recognize a defense or make a decision, check out of a play, get you into a play, a question that he would ask, you know, an upper level question, a question you might expect from a 5-year vet in the NFL, that all of a sudden this young kid, not young kid, but this young man was asking you. There were a lot of moments like that. And then there was also moments when you saw that, you know, he was still a freshman. But what you always saw was that he had the ability and the intelligence to become a great player if he so desired.
It's funny that you say that you saw that right away, because after his freshman season, you went on record and said that if he was eligible to come out in the 2016 draft, that he would have been the number one pick. What led you to say that about him?
His football IQ, his maturity, and his skill set. You know, and I know people looked at me kind of crazy when I said that. And now they look at me crazy when I said, say, Sam Darnold over him. So yeah, they probably want to know where I fit on that. But I think you can have changing opinions. I just felt that after his freshman year, he had demonstrated to me that he had what it took to be a great NFL player. He still had work to do, obviously, but you saw the potential. And I'd stand by that, you know, and I think he's going to be a great player at the next level.
I want to go back to that opener against Texas A&M. That was, if you're going to say Josh Rosen's kind of hallmark game, he had some big games, no doubt, over his career. But I think that moment probably for most of us was like, okay, that's impressive right there. Is there something that stands out to you maybe in the preparation of that game, on the sideline for that game? Is it something, you know, coming off of a tough game at their place the year before and to just play a wild shootout and a comeback win there? Is there anything you remember from that game specifically about Josh?
I just remember the toughness he demonstrated. So for anybody that questions his toughness, or if anyone were to ever question his competitiveness, I would take them to that game, to that second half, and really to that fourth quarter when we had to load the entire team up on his back and he had to make plays and he had to make tough plays and he was beat up and he'd been hit and he'd been running around scrambling for his life, and yet he rose up and he, to me, demonstrated just a lot of grit and a lot of toughness and great competitiveness and tremendous leadership. You know, our team said, that's our guy. We're going where he goes. We love this guy.
Coach, it's funny. DJ and I have a belief that quarterbacks come in two categories. They're either trucks, where they carry the team, or they're trailers, where the team carries them. Based on all accounts, it sounds like you're saying that Josh Rosen is a truck, but I'm going to have you categorize him. Do you believe he's a truck or a trailer in those categories?
I think he's a truck. I think that he has the ability to be a truck. You know, to project a guy in the NFL and say that he's going to be, as you said, a truck, that's risky. Mm-hmm. Because, as you guys know, it takes a tremendous amount of luck, of preparation, of commitment, to being in the right spot at the right time to be that truck. But I think he certainly has those characteristics. And as he applies himself and as he gets older and as he learns more and more, and as he's around great players and studies them, that he'll definitely be a semi.
There you go. Semi. Oh, I like that's a new category. It's a third category.
Semi.
All right. I like going through these specific behind-the-scenes situations, Coach, because that's something, you know, we can study the tape, sure, and form our opinions, but hearing what's going on behind the scenes. So we talked about A&M. I want to go to Memphis, right? Josh has a couple. I'd categorize him kind of some hero-type throws where the play's dead. He's still trying to keep the play alive. I admire the competitiveness there, but you have some turnovers that result out of that style of play. So that game ends, and maybe it's not there in the locker room, but at some point in time during that next week, What's your conversation like with him, and how does he handle that?
Well, it was always easy with Josh because he's his own toughest critic. You know, he would come to the sideline, and he would say, "Boy, that was not a very good decision." You know, he would own it immediately, and then he would move on. And I always appreciated that about him, is that he was ready to step up and you know, either own his mistakes or pass the credit to others when he did well. I love the mindset of not conceding a play. I love that mindset. That mindset just has to be managed. And I think as Josh has gone along and as he continues to go along, he'll get better and better at understanding that, okay, the play's over. Let's get to the next down, you know, with possession of the football.
Knowing what you know now about him through your 3 years of being his head coach, what would be the perfect scenario for Josh Rosen at the next level?
Well, I've said this a couple times, that I think that he needs to be somewhere where he's going to be challenged intellectually and he's going to be stimulated intellectually. You know, this is a guy that wants to know why, which I think is a great attribute for anyone to have, but especially a quarterback, because he wants to dive in deep and understand exactly what's expected of him, exactly what we're trying to get accomplished with a play or a concept. And he doesn't necessarily just take things at face value. He said, "Tell me why." And it's a good thing. It's a good why. I've never heard him be disrespectful to anybody at all. I've always seen him take tough coaching very, very well. So a situation for him is where someone's going to, you know, I think you've said it publicly, give him the keys to the car. Make tremendous demands of him. You know, make him learn the whole playbook immediately. Throw him in as the starter. And I think when he's challenged that way, he'll rise up and he really becomes something special.
All right, this is a tough one for you, because I'm going to ask you now, pretend that you weren't the head coach for Josh Rosen. I want you to put your defensive coordinator's hat on, what you've done your whole life. If you're devising a game plan against Josh Rosen, what does it look like? What are you trying to take away from him? What are you trying to force him into?
Well, I'm going to try to squeeze the pocket and take away the throwing lanes, because I think he's really good in the pocket of moving his feet and finding the throwing lanes. So we're going to put dots on him and try to, you know, squeeze the pocket. You know, you play some tight man-to-man on him, but he's going to make those throws that you have to make versus tight man-to-man. It's going to be tough to fool him with a scheme that works in disguise, because he just sees things so well. I don't know. I
mean, it's a challenge. I mean, it speaks to his ability to come up with something.
And you know what's going to happen at the NFL level? He's going to come up against some really smart football players and some really intelligent coordinators that put together great schemes, and he will see things that he hasn't seen at the college level. But I think that he'll decipher them fairly quickly. You know, he's going to make some mistakes like everybody does, but he doesn't often make the same mistake more than once. Other than, as you said, sometimes the hero throw, but you can. It's a good thing that can be coached through.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's funny that you said building that game plan. One thing that I want to ask you about, quarterbacks are kind of evaluated how they play in clutch situations. So if it's a two-minute situation, game's on the line, you guys are down, and Josh has the ball with a timeout left, what is that trust and confidence level in him that he can get you to the end zone?
Mine was high. Yeah, my trust and confidence level in him was very, very high. And, you know, we played Washington State his sophomore year, and he ran for a touchdown, 35 yards. Now, and then we had to go back on the field, and we lost on defense. But he essentially had us in a position to win the game with his legs, which people had never seen before. You know, he just – and it was, again, his competitiveness got him into the end zone, because he's not lightning fast, but when he was on that field, he was fast enough to get to the end zone. We played Stanford the same year. Now, we were down. It wasn't really a two-minute situation. But, you know, we were out of the game. The game was essentially over. And he made a throw versus cover two down the middle, right over the top of the linebacker between the safeties. It was just spectacular. And I said, make that throw every time. He goes, I said, what were you thinking? He goes, hell with it. I just figured I'd just throw it. You know, what the heck? Look at the score. And I said, I love that. I said, now make it every time, because you can make that throw every time. He's special.
Last question for me on Josh. Just all your time in the NFL, maybe you haven't coached somebody like him, but just haven't gone up against somebody skill set wise that reminds you a little bit, maybe from an arm talent standpoint or just anything at all that reminds you of Josh over the years.
Well, he's so smooth. You know, his rhythm is so smooth. So I'm trying to think of a quarterback that
I mean, he's been doing work with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron gets – there's some comparisons you see there just because everything's just smooth and easy and
that,
natural.
And you know what else? I thought about this today when we were watching their conversation, is their the way they look on camera, their face. Josh, when he was throwing the football, his face always looks relaxed and comfortable. Same with Aaron. When you see Aaron in a game, he never looks like he's stressed. You know, he always looks like he's got great command. I think you'll see the same thing out of Josh because he does have great command. I think as he gets further along in his career, he's just going to get better and better.
All right, Buck. Well, Jim Moore definitely found himself in the news a bunch, you know, talking about his takes with us on NFL Network and other media outlets about Josh Rosen. But I thought it was great to get a chance to sit him here in the studio and have a good chat there about Mr. Rosen.
Yeah, he pulled back the onion a little back. He told everybody what we should think about Josh Rosen in terms of how he goes about his business, what he does to prepare, how he is with his teammates, and more importantly, how it was to coach a guy like Josh Rosen.
No question. Great insight there from Coach Moore. Our next guest also has great insight on Josh Rosen, having been around him as you were, Buck, during the high school days, an experience that didn't go all that well at the Elite 11. But this is going to chance to clear the air, find out what happened there. Here's our chat with Trent Dilfer. Sixth overall pick, the 1994 draft, but really he's kind of the caretaker of quarterbacks is the official title that I'm giving him here. Trent, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Fun to be with both of you.
Well, we're looking forward to this conversation. I want to first at the top here, for those that are listening to this or watching this and aren't familiar, Josh Rosen's Elite 11 experience of anybody, I think if you polled every single quarterback that's come through Elite 11, I think you get overwhelmingly glaring just positive reviews. But Josh Rosen, that experience wasn't great for him or you. And is that accurate?
Very accurate. Reader's Digest version, Josh was the number one prospect in the country. Mm-hmm. I saw uniqueness in him, and I made the mistake of kind of going at him too hard. He wasn't, and he would tell you this, by the way, if we were doing a conference call together, he would agree with, I think, everything I'm about to say. He didn't really want to get coached. He was so successful at John Bosco. He had a great offensive coordinator there that had taught him a lot of football to that point. They did things a very specific way that was successful. And I wanted to introduce him to kind of an NFL curriculum and bypass the college experience because I felt he was that kind of good. That was a mistake because I coached him too hard. I was too hard on him. And then I made some public comments about his unwillingness to be coached that I should never have made. And we had a lot of friction between the two of us. He did not have a very good experience and a very good performance. It was probably my poorest job as a coach in all my years of Elite 11. So it was not good for either one of us. Now, what was amazing about Josh and really where I changed my whole outlook on Josh was last summer, without me asking him, Brian Stump, the president of Student Sports, asked him to come be a counselor for us. And he was more than willing to be a counselor. So me and him did not have a good relationship, yet he chose to come to Southern California, be a counselor, help these kids out. And while he was there, really engaged with me and asked me to kind of go back a couple years and reintroduce him to that stuff I was trying to coach him on when he was 17. That showed a lot of growth, showed a lot of humility, showed a lot of maturity on him, on his end. Josh and I have a great relationship now. I think we both have recognized that we didn't handle that Elite 11 experience very well. And I really come to admire Josh. And I understand him better, too, and understand what happened at UCLA and understand some of these narratives that are going on around him and why they've stuck. And I feel like I can really give some insight to why he's perceived one way, but in reality is something very different.
Trent, it's funny that you bring that up about Elite 11 because as hard as you were on him as the overall coach of the Elite 11, he was my quarterback on my team. And I came away with the same thing. I thought at the time, at 17, he was uncoachable. He wasn't willing to listen. He was the most talented guy there, but he did the least with the talent because he just wouldn't humble himself enough to learn everything. But like last summer, I had opportunity to be around him at that Elite 11, and he was different. He was humble. He was outgoing. He did things that he didn't show at 17, and it really changed the narrative that I had on him because I wasn't a big fan. I wasn't a big fan of his mentality and how he went about it. But after that, I had a better understanding. So now spinning that forward, how does that play? How does that personality, how does that thirst for knowledge that he has, how does that play at the next level?
Well, I think fit's going to be really important for Josh. I think you're going to have an offensive staff that understands him as a person and be willing to give him a lot of responsibility, give him a lot of stuff to learn, but yet behind the scenes control how much is actually used. And I know that sounded vague, but here's what I learned about Josh. You can't bring any weak sauce any day. Mm-hmm. You've got to bring your A game. He expects you to bring your A game every single day when you're coaching him. And he's going to push back if he feels like you got lazy. Mm-hmm. So every day in those offense, you guys can, you know, educate the listeners more on what that looks like. But every Tuesday, every Monday post game, you got to give him reasons why things happen on Sunday. And then Tuesday, as you're introducing the game plan to him, you got to give him the why behind everything. You got to systematically break down where, why you got to this point and why this is the plan you're using to face the next opponent. And then Wednesday morning, the install meetings, there better be real reasons why versus single high man, we're working at one side, and single high zone, we're working another side, why we're changing the protection versus this front, and why we're, you know, IDing this guy as the mic and these fronts with the safety profiles. And he needs to know everything because that's the way his mind works. That's a good thing, by the way. I think Aaron Rodgers is very similar to that. Mm-hmm. I think Tom Brady's very similar to that, that you have to give them everything that you have because they're giving everything that they have every single day also. So I think that's how it plays off. Now, if he goes somewhere where these coaches are bringing the weak sauce and they're just saying, hey, do it because I told you to, mm-mm, watch out because you might have 17-year-old Josh resurface because he needs more than that.
Last question for me, Trent. I want to ask you to play a little bit of the psychologist here. Josh is coming out of high school, number one recruit. He is absolutely the man. The expectations are what they are. Do you think – I've talked with Bucky about this a little bit on and off the air. I almost think him coming in and maybe potentially being the fourth quarterback drafted, maybe of all these quarterbacks, he slides down a little bit, that could be the best thing that ever happened to Josh Rosen. He gets to, for the first time in his life, in any facet, he gets to actually be the underdog.
Yeah, I think there's something to it. And I want all these kids to go first and make as much money as they possibly can. But I agree, the Aaron Rodgers scenario, I mean, Aaron still to this day has a chip on his shoulder about sliding down that draft board. He felt he should have been the first pick of the draft that year of the 49ers. And I think that has helped drive him. And that chip, that orneriness that's part of his game is part of what's made him, you know, so great. I think the same psychology could work to Josh's favor, that if he drops down the board, if he goes somewhere where he believes is lower than he should go, that, yeah, he's that type of personality that will use that for that fuel. Because, again, in all this conversation, I hope you guys hit this all the time. It's a hard journey. It is really, really hard to play quarterback in the National Football League and then to be really good. And you need all the motivation. You need all the tools you can possibly find to wake you up on a Wednesday morning after a 4-interception game the week before and to walk in that locker room with 52 other eyeballs looking at you as you're the reason we lost this game. And how are you going to fix it? You need everything. And I think the more little things you can pull out that help motivate you, help inspire you, the better. And I agree with you, DJ, that if he does drop, that's something that Josh Rosen would use.
Hey, Trent, we know you're busy, man. Thank you so much for taking some time. We could do this for another hour and a half easy.
Always fun to be with you guys.
All right, Buck, I could talk to Trent, you know, for hours on these quarterbacks. Great insight there on Josh Rosen.
No, tremendous insight and perspective. It shows how far Josh Rosen has come as a player and as a person to make amends with Trent Dilfer after that rough experience at Elite 11. I think it speaks volumes about who he is and who he could become at the next level.
I think you definitely look at the trend line. A lot of times we talk about the trend line with talent. I almost look at the trend line with personality there with Josh Rosen, trending up. You've seen some growth there and maturity in Josh Rosen over the last couple of years. So that was great insight there from Trent Dilfer. All right, let's get UCLA superfan on here. Our colleague Maurice Jones-Drew, interesting perspective there as one of the best players in UCLA history. Let's get his thoughts on the UCLA quarterback, Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, the goat. Why do you think he's the best quarterback in the draft? You can't just say because you went there.
No, not at all. It has nothing to do with that. I talk with Bucky about this all the time because we do the high school 7-on-7 thing, and my high school football team has been one of the most dominant football teams in the country for a long time. And yesterday we had a guy here, was it Armand St. Brown? And when I shook his head.
Yeah, Amon Ross St. Brown.
Yeah, I said, you know what? Respect. Because you respected the heck out of my high school team. Like, that's what we normally do that to other people. So it goes back to that with Josh Rosen when they played my high school, and I think he put up like 60 or 70, and it wasn't even close. I mean, they blew him out, and it wasn't as if – like, it was like he never took his foot off the gas. And so I was like, wow, like, this kid is really good. Now, so happened he ends up going to my alma mater. I follow him. I love him. But the stories behind some things he's done, always being in the limelight, I think is a big thing for quarterbacks, being able to handle the pressure. Being in L.A. before there was an L.A. team and being the guy in L.A. before there was an L.A. team, all that scrutiny that came with that, and he handled it well. And I think that a lot of that plays part into football, where you're going to go to a team if you're drafting the top five, one, whatever it may be. If you can't handle the pressure of being a top five pick or a number one overall pick, you're not going to make it. And we saw that. We've seen that with Ryan Leaf. We've seen that with some quarterbacks like
Jamarcus Russell.
Yep. We've seen it with the kid out of Washington that just retired on Tennessee.
Jake Locker.
If you can't handle that pressure, you won't perform. You won't be able to perform. So I think this some of the things that people are knocking him for are actually positives, right? Being a top tennis player and having that money to be able to perform in front of millions of people and some of these things that he's done, that's going to help him for football. I think being smart. It's going to help him for football. I've never met a quarterback that wasn't smart that's not a good quarterback, right? And so I think a lot of people and these are all the things that they're saying bad about him. I've never heard someone say he can't throw the ball. I never heard anyone say he can't read defenses. I've never heard anyone say people say he's not a good leader, but when you talk to the kids in that locker room, he is a good leader. Some people say he's not a good person. Well, you know, granted, I'm a little bit different, but when my boys came, I was a little nervous when I first met him with my kids. I was actually really nervous because I heard some of the rumors about him, and I was like, oh, man, I hope he doesn't say anything to my kids. Then, you know, the old me is going to have to come out. And he was more than excited to meet my kids, gave him a football, took him in the locker room. I mean, at practice, he was cool with them. And I've seen him do that with other people's children as well and other players. I think him speaking out on the NCAA is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. He has players in his locker room that can't speak. They don't have a voice. So he's telling people their story. I don't think that's wrong. I think that's positive. And so – I know in this process, a lot of people say, you know, gets towards the end, people start, like, in the middle of the process, people start trying to knock players down as much as they can. The one thing I've never heard anyone say is he can't play football. And to me, that tells me he's the best quarterback in the draft. Everyone else, we've heard negative stuff about what they do on the football field. If it's turnovers, if it's, you know, not making great decisions, if it's arm strength, if it's accuracy, if it's understanding football. You don't hear that. All you hear is stuff off the field. So to me, I think – you know, if you take this young man, you understand what you're getting. You have to be a confident coach.
So I know this is going to be hard for you because loving eyes can never see. On the field, what would be your biggest knock on Josh Rosen in his game?
Injuries. He gets hurt all the time. Availability, I think, is the biggest thing to me with him. I do believe sometimes he tries to fit the ball into certain places, but I think everyone does that. I mean, the safest Tom Brady makes those problems as long as Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you just have to work with that. That becomes consistency. For me, though, it's, you know, the concussions a couple years ago, the shoulder injury or whatever it may be. Those are concerning issues for me. But if I'm a GM and I know I have a talent like that, it's my job to protect him, put pieces around and protect him to make sure that he can play at a high level. And I'm biased. I'm biased. I told you guys that from the very beginning. He went to UCLA. I feel, like you said, I love him as a player more than others will. I think when you hear Jim Mora speak, a lot of people say that is negative. But we have to remember, he's Jim Mora's neighbor. So he knows more about Josh Rosen than any other coach, any other person will, because they were in the same community. That's like me living next to someone saying, like, well, I wouldn't take that kid because he does this, this, and this at night. Or he's up late doing, like – well, no one will really know that if you don't live next door to him. So you have a different and a different view and a insight on what Josh Rosen is as a person. So I think you know, what Jim has done is really opened the doors for people to ask questions. And I thought he's handled those questions really well.
How do you lose in Memphis?
I mean, there's a lot of things that why you lose in Memphis. First of all, you don't stop anybody on defense. That's rule number
gave
one.
Gave up a bunch of points.
You give up, you can't score 40-something points and lose all the time. And that's similar to what they do.
Turn the ball over either.
You can't turn the ball over. He threw two pick sixes, I think, in that game. Trying to fit it in at the end. I know he had the one at the end is kind of like it's kind of like the play that they do at the end of every game. I'm part of it. I'm on the bloopers where you're just trying to toss the ball back to keep it going, and then they pick it up and scoop and score. And that's a point. I mean, I feel like that was the last one. He's just trying to fit the ball in there and make a play, and the guy makes a great play and picks it off. But you lose to Memphis one because
lose to Arizona 47-30, throw no touchdowns, three picks.
Arizona, I'll give you a great reason about Arizona. Arizona's running quarterback was unreal. And he jumped on them. He jumped on them fast. It wasn't even. And so you're back slinging it, trying to get back. And yes, he's had bad games. And I think, I mean, you're gonna look. You're gonna put it as a whole. You're gonna put it back there. But look at the players around him as well. I mean, they were trying to get players around him, but they never could. And I think that's a big issue. And the guys that they did get around him at that point, and they may pan out this year with Chip. I don't know. But in whatever systems they were in, they weren't excelling at those. And so those are issues.
And so you're obviously close with one of his former offensive coordinators, Kennedy Pola. There was more of a pro-style offense. He had the unique challenge of going to three different offensive systems that he played under. What did you see from him when he had to adjust and change each and every year?
I didn't see – so first with Kennedy Pola, that was a Texas A&M game where they were in Texas A&M and they should have beat him. They had a couple passes dropped, but you didn't see a slow start from him. That was the Myles Garrett game. It was against at the time, they had a left tackle, McDermott.
Yeah, Connor McDermott got ate up.
And that was supposed to be that. That was like, all right, this is the best DN. You're supposed to be one of the top tackles. How do you perform? He didn't do well.
Didn't end well for him.
It didn't end well. But Rosen had some bad throws there, but he led him back. And in each and every one, even with Jed Fish and even with Noel Mazzoni, he's always started fast. It's never been an issue of him understanding what they're doing in three different systems. When I talked to Kennedy Pohl about it, the question why comes up, right? He always asks why. Why are we doing this? Why on stick, which is a two outs and a go, and the running back's running the go, why can't I throw the running back the ball? And most coordinators are going to say, because I don't want you to. But the real reason is you only throw it to him when there's a linebacker on or someone you think he can beat. And then if it's a corner out there, that eliminates the rule. So you have to explain. You have to become a teacher. And Coach Pohl, that's one of the things we talked about. He's like, you have to teach more with him, and it's hard for a lot of people to do that, and especially when you're trying to teach – you know, you're trying to get everybody else on the same page. He's asking these questions that are kind of over other kids' heads. So, like I said, I'm a big fan of anyone that's been successful or somewhat successful in three different systems. If it's the spread system, if it's Jed Fish's pro style that I played in Jacksonville, or if it's Kennedy Pola's system that I played in Jacksonville as well. I mean, he did a really good job of being able to turn his back to the defense. We don't see kids do that anymore. Turn his back to the defense and then be able to identify where the coverage is and where to go. So I'm a huge fan. Like, I just really feel like some players aren't going to like him because he doesn't have the arm strength to throw through weather. And I don't know what that means. Like, if you throw on time, you're fine to me.
Well, breaking news there, Buck. Maurice Jones-Drew is high on the UCLA quarterback.
I mean, he loves himself some Bruins. But look, I understand. Look, the guy is the best quarterback outside of Troy Aikman to ever play there. And so Maurice Jones-Drew holds him in high regard. And I think some of that is warranted. I think he's a little over the top, but we'll see. Maybe I would love a Tario just as much.
Now, I don't remember you loving Mitchell Trubisky this much last year.
No, it's a little different.
You like Mitch. Yeah. You like Mitch. Mitch Mitchell, do we know that yet? I think that's still TBD. How about some teammates of Josh Rosen? How about we get a chance to talk with them and see what they have to say about the Bruins signal caller? Let's start here our conversation with UCLA wide receiver Jordan Lassley. Tell us a story now, the first time that you caught a ball from Josh Rosen on the practice field or whenever it was, and what your first impression was him just as a passer.
Yeah, so my first impression of Josh actually came in high school before college. First time I had eyes on Josh was probably, he was in the ninth grade, I was in the 10th grade. I'm a year older than he is. And we were playing on the same 7-on-7 team, and we were actually throwing at Delamo Park in Carson. So first time I ever seen him throw a ball, I ran a post route. Probably that same post route that we ran on Pro Day. So we've been running that for years now. So he threw the ball, and I wasn't really running that fast. Cause I thought, you know, I didn't think that he was going to get the ball that far. So I actually ran, you know, I was probably running about 70% speed. Josh ended up throwing the ball, and I had to start running for it once I seen the ball was in the air. And we had started on maybe the 50-yard line, and he put it right on, like, right inside the 5 for me to score a touchdown. So that's the first time I seen Josh throw the ball, and I seen how much arm talent that he had, and he was only maybe 14 or 15 years old at the time. So my first impression was like, wow, he's going to be great. He's driven. He was really quiet at first, surprisingly. People think of Josh as this big talkative guy now. He never used to say anything. That was the Josh. That was the Josh that was quiet. That was the Josh that was. That was a different Josh, I would say. Now he's everything. He's put it all together. He's been working so hard for all of these years, and you know he's been number one for a really long time. So it's no surprise to me.
You know, speaking of that, because he has always been the number one guy, the number one quarterback. He had to carry all of that hype and weight when he came to UCLA. What was he like as a leader when he got to UCLA?
Josh, as a leader, Josh is a born leader, I would say. He came in as a true freshman. I think he threw for, as a freshman, 35 touchdowns and maybe like 9 or 10 interceptions. And, you know, obviously won Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year and stuff like that. But as a leader, Josh was, you know, he worked really hard. He wants to be great. He wants to be the best. And I'm proud of him for saying that Tom Brady quote. He wants to, you know, if Tom Brady gets 7, he'll probably get 7. Or if Tom Brady gets 6, he'll get, you know, he'll get 7. That just speaks to the competitor he is. And he doesn't have to really say too much to show how much of a competitor he is, because me being a guy in the huddle with him, you know, it tells it all for me. It tells me how much he wants to win. I've seen him get hit in the middle of the play, and he gets up, his nose is bleeding. I think it was against Arizona State, his nose is bleeding. And, you know, he didn't want to come out the game. You know, obviously in college you're not supposed to have, you know, any blood showing on your jersey or anything like that. Josh refused to come out of the game. And I think in the next two plays he threw another touchdown. So in that kind of environment, Josh just showed me how tough he is, his mindset and his will to win, and his leadership skills are infectious. He makes everybody else, you know, hold themselves accountable, especially me. You know, being his receiver in college, I felt like I was even more accountable than he was, just because, you know, he wanted me to be there. He wanted me to be right there for him. So Josh, his presence, like just being in the locker room with him, makes you want to be better, because you know he's going to bring his absolute best every single day.
All right, I want to go back to one specific play. Against Texas A&M, is an epic game there to start the season, and you know where I'm going with this. It's the game-winning touchdown there late in the game, and it's actually an old-school fake spike. It's the old Dan Marino fake spike, and then you slip coverage, and he hits you. I want to know, have you practiced that? And what was the communication? Like, the whole coaching staff's gone now, so you're not sharing secrets. But like, was okay. What was the signal? What was the signal to make it happen? And just tell me about that communication that went on that game winning play.
So that game, obviously we were down 4 or 5 touchdowns at, you know, at halftime. So we knew coming out that we couldn't make any mistakes, and we were gonna have to be flawless offensively and defensively, just for their offense to not score any more points and for us to keep scoring points. So that sequence, it was actually funny. Two plays before that touchdown, I actually dropped a hitch on 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 6, and we really needed it. So it went right through my hands. So Jamabo, our starting running back, ended up saving my butt on that and getting us the first down on 4th and 5 after my bonehead drop. And that fake spike play was it was kind of like one of our plays that you know we'll call right after a first down. You know, right after the defense doesn't really expect it, that type of thing. So it was actually something that we practiced all through training camp. It was a part of our 2-minute drill. Coach Moore and Coach Jed Fish got us, you know, they were really good at getting us in game-like situations. And so we had practiced that plenty of times. And so it came to service in the game. And in practice, we would always do it at the end of 2 minutes, at like the end of practice. Everybody was dog, dead, tired. And it actually paid dividends in the game. So we had just got the first down. You know, Josh looks at me and he goes like this. This is our clock. Mm-hmm. So that we called it. It was our clock call. So Josh goes clock, 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 and he gives me that look like, hey, like, dude, catch this one. You know, because I'm gonna put this one in the right spot. So you better catch it, or you know that it's gonna be me and you after the game. So. I looked at him, I just gave him that nod, like, go ahead, you know, I'm ready when you are. And luckily, we had ran the clock play, and I was the only one that actually ran a route. None of the other receivers ended up running a route. So that just tells you how, you know, that quarterback and receiver trust is there at all times. And Josh gave me a ball, And, you know, the DB, you know, luckily for me, that wasn't really expecting it as we expected as an offense. And Josh gave me a good ball to, you know, make a play on. And, you know, it's probably my favorite catch out of all the catches I've ever had in my life.
In 3 years from now, your quarterback, Josh Rosen, is going to be what?
Josh Rosen, in 3 years, he's going to be a guy, man, he's probably going to be already thrown from, I'm guessing, over 10,000 yards.
Okay.
In his first 3 years, I'm going to say he's going to have at least a 20 to 25 touchdown number every year, I would say. Josh Rosen is going to be a guy no matter what team he's on. He's going to make everybody around him better. He's gonna demand that you're going to bring your best absolutely every single day, especially with his receivers. Josh doesn't play around with his receivers. He's going to bring a whole new attitude and a whole new, I would say, aura to an offense just off his preparation and just off how much he wants to win. Depending on who that team is that Josh, you know, gets picked to, that team could easily be in the Super Bowl. That Josh is a guy, he's used to winning. He's in high school, he's a 16-0 national champion in at St. John Bosco out here in California. And I just think he's going to bring a winning and infectious attitude to the entire team. And he's only 20 or 21 years old, but he's a man among his years. If you sit up and talk to Josh, you'll see how mature he is, how much substance he has when he speaks to people, and how much he actually cares about his teammates. He really loves this man. And any of those writers or anybody who has anything to say about how much his teammates love him, we are totally and fully behind Josh, and we love him, and we see the guy who he is off the field and on the field. So that's what you'll get out of Josh Rosen in 3 years.
Hey, Jordan, thank you so much, man. Great answers. We've enjoyed our visit with you here. Wish you the best of luck in the draft. Can't wait to see where you land and follow in your future, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Take care, man. Really interesting perspective there from Jordan Lasley talking about his quarterback and Josh Rosen. Doesn't hide his love, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't hide his love. I think the thing that came out of that conversation, he talked about the accountability, how Josh Rosen held the teammates, particularly the wide receivers, to a high standard, and how he would get on those guys and expected and demanded a lot from them. You know, we talk about his leadership and whether he's a guy that can be a leader of men in a pro locker room. I think Lasley kind of dispels some of those notions.
Definitely a big fan there of his quarterback, Lasley. One of the best deep threats in this year's draft. We'll see when he gets drafted. Nobody knows a quarterback quite like the center. That's a relationship that's as close as there is in sports. And we got a chance to visit with UCLA center Scott Quisenberry. What's something that maybe the people on the outside don't know about him that you know being around him?
He's just a world-class guy, man. You know, you can spend all day with him and, you know, just get along with him. And, you know, football might not ever come up. You know, he's so enamored by the world itself, and you know, he has such an interesting perspective on everything, and it's just fun to just talk to him. He's just, you know, he's a special guy, and it's, you can't really replace a guy like him. So it's, you know, it's just fun to be around him.
You know, it's funny because you talked about that, like when you lost him last year, how it was different for you guys. When you're in the huddle and you have a Josh Rosen in the huddle, does his mere presence bring about a different level of confidence when it comes to, we're going to win because our dude knows how to get us in the end zone?
Without a doubt. You know, when he comes into the huddle, it's, everyone shuts up and we're locked in. We're ready to go. So he brings this just different tenacity, and it's just, even now, like more so than last year, he's just grown up so much and grown into such a tremendous football player. I mean, he's been a great one since his freshman year, but, you know, I think he's even better now than anything that anyone's ever seen.
Buck, always interesting when you get a chance to talk to these teammates of players and prospects. I feel like those are the guys that know them better than anybody else, and we got some good answers there.
Yeah, we did get good answers. I think they do know him. They're in the huddle with them. They know exactly how a guy acts, how he handles pressure, how he reacts to adverse situations. So it was good to get that insight from those guys on Josh Rosen and really figure out what kind of player he is for the team.
No question. All right, that's about it for us here today. In terms of teams, I know we mentioned the Jets a little bit earlier. Any other spots you think would be a great fit for Josh Rosen? I think you've said Denver.
I've said Denver before. Yeah. I think Denver would be a nice fit because they have the weapons around them. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. You have a couple of quarterbacks in the building and Gary Kubiak and John Elway. So I think he could really glean a lot of insight from those guys. I think that would be a nice fit for him as well.
In terms of what you can expect year one, when you put him up with the other quarterbacks in this class, I mean, obviously it's dependent on where you go and what situation you find yourself, but I think you make a strong case that Josh is probably poised to have the most immediate success of any quarterback in this class. You with me on that?
I think he could. I think in the right situation, he certainly could jump into an established team and handle the keys of the car, handle the keys to the car, and find a way to get it to the winner's circle. He is a polished quarterback, and I think he is ready, more ready than any other quarterback in this situation.
Put a lot on him. Put a lot on his plate. Give him some control at the line of scrimmage. You know, we heard that word. You got to stimulate him. Well, you give him a lot of control. An NFL quarterback having control at the line of scrimmage, that'll be enough to keep him busy.
Absolutely. I think so.
He'll be just fine there. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Josh Rosen 360. Outstanding guest. Thank you, David Singer, for getting those all corralled for us. Buck, I've enjoyed it. This whole series, to me, I feel like I learn more and more about these guys with this 360 series. There's nothing like it.
Nothing like it. To get the background that we've been able to have, the access to the coaches, high school coaches and beyond, has been outstanding, has really given us a full perspective on what these players are.
Yeah, you can go back and find all the 360 series. Go to NFL.com/podcast as well as Apple Podcasts. Just pump in, move the sticks, and it'll all be there for you. Lots of other draft content as well. Go to NFL.com/MTSvideo for the video content. And we have these podcasts churning each and every week as we march towards the 2018 NFL Draft. He's Bucky Brooks. I'm Daniel Jeremiah. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.